Okay, welcome to Creative Disturbance. This is Roger Molina. I'm very pleased in this podcast that we have John Ippolito at the University of Maine and Lindsay Joyce at the University of Texas at Dallas. And what we'd like to discuss is new forms of journalism and criticism about game playing that are emerging today and some of the problems that are being faced. So John, maybe you could just introduce yourself briefly, who you are and what you do.
Sure. I'm John Ippolito. I'm an artist and a curator and a writer and a thinker, but mostly sort of describe myself as a foot soldier in the battle between network and hierarch cultures. I'm a new media professor at the University of Maine, where I co-direct the Stillwater Lab and the graduate digital curation program. I'm excited about a number of the things we're talking about today, some of which I know more than others, so I hope to learn as well as give my perspective.
Okay. Lindsay, could you just present yourself briefly?
Yes, my name is Lindsay Joyce, and I am a PhD student at the University of Texas at Dallas, where I am researching digital interactive narratives in the Interactive Narrative Lab. I am also a curator at criticaldistance.com and managing editor of 5 Out of 10 magazine and Haywire magazine, both of which deal with game criticism.
Okay, so John, you and all your professional career have been tracking new and emerging media in the arts and culture and how we deal with them, how we document them, how we criticize them, how we present them. You've developed a number of key concepts. So maybe we can just start the discussion with a little bit of your sort of top-level view of how we should be dealing with new media as they appear in the arts and culture.
I think that we have been trying to deal since at least the 90s with new media by pigeonholing it into the media categories of the 20th century that are static records like text documents, maybe even film and video, audio recordings, and the like. And I think that's a terrible mistake. I think that new media are much more fluid, more collaborative, more participatory, and harken back to times of oral cultures and performative works. And we need to adapt our documentation systems accordingly.
Okay, so Lindsay, I think, obviously, art and gaming culture are a good example of what we're talking about. So can you explain the concept of Let's Play, how that's appeared on the scene, and how you're dealing with it?
All right, so Let's Plays briefly are sort of digital recordings of video gameplay, generally overdubbed with commentary by the player. This can be a tutorial commentary or more critical commentary. And what I'm trying to do right now at Critical Distance is to curate these Let's Plays in a way that opens dialogue. So, every month, we collect submissions of Let's Plays that people feel should be curated. Then we put them into conversation with one another, linking both to the author of the Let's Play, and then represent them to the community and see how that dialogue continues, how those individual Let's Plays end up spurring further conversation or critical commentary on games in general.
I assume these are both examples of single-player games and multi-user games?
Yes, so both single-player and multi-user games. And also, so with multi-user, it gets really interesting in that a Let's Play that is multi-user could be recorded by a single player, but you see the multi-user experience. Alternately, there are Let's Plays with multiple users commenting on the play simultaneously, which then creates dialogue of itself.
Okay, so John, maybe you can just unpack a little bit of how you see gaming documentation and archiving evolving.
Well, certainly interactive games represent one of the hardest cases for documentation of the old style, where you fix a static document and print it out or put it in a vault, because of a lot of different factors that they have that Lindsay alluded to. There's the possibility of individual players, multiple players. There's also the different platforms and software involved that are required And then there's other elements of participation that go beyond that, like modding and map making. In the case of what Lindsay's describing, it's a very interesting idea that the artifact would be essentially annotated as it is played. It makes perfect sense, right? Why wouldn't we want to do for gaming what we already have for something like a Shakespeare play, where we can look at annotations on the margins and find out what critical scholars and historians are saying about different passages in the game? That said, you know, the model for tenurable scholarship that we have right now looks for 5,000 word articles in peer-reviewed journals in words on a page on a library shelf, and that's not going to work for most of the kinds of interactive kind of media that Lindsay's talking about. So I think, you know, we could talk about what would work. Well, fortunately, there are some platforms that have come along that allow for media-rich scholarship and interactive scholarship. I'm thinking particularly of things like some of the projects that some of my colleagues, like John Bell and Craig Dietrich at the Stillwater Lab, have been up to, including Scalar out of University of Southern California and Media Ecology Project out of Dartmouth. Each of these allows a coupling of textual material along with media of different kinds, media that isn't necessarily even pulled into the critical kind of essay itself, but maybe sitting on another collection, like an internet archive of video or Twitch TV or something like that. And these can be mixed and matched in various ways and experienced as a nonlinear document that nevertheless is something that scholars can evaluate critically as part of someone's research. I would then go a little further and say, okay, while Let's Plays could be accommodated in those scholarly platforms, that's not necessarily enough in my mind to document these games for posterity. As a sort of preservation scenario, I think we need to go beyond a simple a critical walkthrough. But certainly from the perspective of the cultural significance of games and sometimes the kind of humorous, kind of personal experience of games, Let's Play sound like a terrific way to capture that.
Absolutely, and I think there are, within the Let's Play medium, there are layers, right? So that commentary is happening in really interesting ways, some that might be considered more scholarly than others, whereby perhaps they aren't annotated during the play itself, but the play is recorded, and then a discussion is overlaid over it afterward. So it's sort of reflecting on the experience. But there's also the historical Let's Play, which I think gets back to the point of archiving that you were discussing, where we're talking, dealing with issues of bit rot or system loss, where people that still have older systems or older games can record through the gameplay for posterity's sake, so that we can then go back and view them later, where otherwise they would be lost, right? So recently, the Oregon Trail, everybody's childhood favorite on Apple, was recently remade available on the web. Prior to it being made available again by archivists, it was sort of only existed in memory, or a few people that still could load it up from DOS could play through Oregon Trail, but it's a cultural artifact that is really important to how games developed afterwards. And I think that's some of what we're trying to curate now, that we're starting to realize in game theory that if we don't document the play itself, because the technology advances so quickly, we lose so much of the data because it becomes unplayable and unseeable ever again. And so I think that alone makes it sort of worth curating and discussing this medium in a new scholarly context. But what I'm curious about is whether there is a way to develop something akin to peer review that is digitized and made into new media. Is there something synonymous to that that we should still be working on within sort of ivory tower that accomplishes the same goals as a peer review journal but could be digitized. Or multimodal would be a better word.
Maybe you could just mention the pool, John, and what you're trying to do there.
Sure. Before doing that, though, I want to get back to, I think Lindsay's onto a really interesting subject here, which is the allusion you made to the ability to play the Oregon Trail on the web. I'm assuming you're talking about emulators like JS Mess, which have long allowed individual users to play old video games on their own computers and only recently have been ported to the web, so anyone without even running their own emulator can go to a server like the Internet Archives and play these old games. And I'm a big fan of an emulation. I've done studies of it and exhibitions on it. But it doesn't capture the cultural meaning of a game. It only captures the software and what you can do with it. So if a certain, a game that included, like Hogan's Alley, that had, Colonel Sanders and Flava Flav, and, there are references in various games and even in mashups of games that are culturally attuned to particular periods. And those are going to be completely lost, but they might be recovered by the kind of annotation systems you're describing, like a Let's Play. So the other piece of games that I think is really difficult to capture with emulation is participation. And I alluded before to modding and map building, and you have games that were designed, with that in mind, like the Civ series or Minecraft, which is almost completely based on modding. And you have games that were not designed with that in mind but ended up being modded anyway, like Halo and, Half-Life. So with those richly textured, hundreds of thousand strong user community built content, that just evaporates if all you do is save, the Minecraft binary on a disk. So to understand that kind of cultural side, your kind of documentation is really important. So now getting on to your question of what sort of peer review mechanisms might help rank and connect scholarship in these rich interactive forms. One of the models that we have developed in Stillwater Lab is the pool, which Roger alluded to, which allows people to sort of throw out an idea for art, text, or code, and then receive reviews from a large community, either within an academic setting or outside. Apart from being reviewed with some level of granularity, like the technical aspects, the conceptual aspects, the perceptual aspects, the pool also allows you to establish relationships. So this game has a predecessor. That is this other game that actually preceded it and is, less well known. And then people can review that. Or perhaps the game actually is a transformation, a deliberate mashup or remix of other cultural artifacts that are also referred to in the pool. Then you can follow the kind of family tree of this intellectual creativity as it proceeds from one generation to another. There are other models of creativity and interaction that are based on graphing. So to see an influence based on how many connections this particular essay, say, has made to other essays that have been published elsewhere. And there's nothing that says that you need to be published in an A-level peer-reviewed journal in order to establish those sort of impacts. You simply need a system of connecting, documenting and connecting these publications, and then graphing their impact and even possibly measuring them numerically, although I often prefer pictures because I think they give a better social perspective as to the influence of a scholarly work.
Okay, thank you, John. Unfortunately, we're going to have to leave it there with several interesting questions floating in the air. Thank you, John. Thank you, Lindsay. And thank you for joining us on Creative Bestowed.
Thank you.
Thanks, Roger.
Thank you.